From the coming Day of Atonement to the latest in the presidential elections and PC madness going wild, we've got you covered today right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There was a headline back in the summer that said Americans' distaste for both Trump and Clinton is record-breaking. That was a few months ago. And it stated that Clinton and Trump are both more strongly disliked than any nominee at this point in the past 10 presidential cycles. But I see some silver lining in that for the church. I see some silver lining in the extreme unfavorability, unlikability of our two presidential candidates. When I say two, the two primary candidates, barring divine intervention, something totally unexpected. Either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton will be the next president of the United States. And for many Americans, neither alternative is positive. There are some who are only voting for Trump because they are never Hillary. There are some who are only voting for Hillary because they are never Trump. But I see a silver lining in all this. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. I'll tell you what that silver lining is in a moment, and I'll share some quotes with you from 4 years ago when Mitt Romney was running against Barack Obama. I think you'll find it interesting to hear what I said 4 years back. But I've got a question for you, and I want to start right here. This was Chris Matthews on the Morning Joe panel, and it's a couple of days back, September 30th. He's talking about the appeal that Donald Trump has, and there is a former Cruz campaign manager or higher up in the Cruz campaign. That's how I got to know him. His website is saulsnewsstand.com, and he said that this was the most accurate description he's heard as to why people are supporting Donald Trump. So, Joey, we'll start with clip number 11. Again, this is Chris Matthews, MSNBC, as liberal as they get in the media. Listen to his take on why people are supporting Trump.
And it's a deep sense of the country is being taken away and betrayed. And I think that's so deep with people that they're looking at a guy who's flawed as like Trump. And at least it's a way of saying, I am really angry about the way the elite has treated my country. And it's so deep, it overwhelms all the bad stuff from Trump. It's that strong.
And he's going to fight to get it back.
It's a strong forced wind of anger about the way the country's been betrayed.
That's what they're and they're thinking he's going to fight to get
it
back.
They think, well, he has a great sensory nerve that knows what works with people. He may not care for a second when he goes to bed at night, if he does go to bed at night, about immigration. He may not care about trade at all. He may not care about these stupid wars, because his record is very mixed on that, to say the least. But if he knows that the average guy out there, the average Joe, the regular guy and woman, is very angry about the way this guy, and Hillary's the symbol of the establishment. She's the symbol of the
just
way
like
things
Jeb
are
Bush
headed.
Was.
Burn it down.
Bush.
And
that's
they
right.
Don't like that. And they're just trying to ring the bell and say no. And Trump's the only way to ring it.
What do you think of that? If you are a Trump supporter, do you believe that Chris Matthews has adequately and accurately described the appeal of Donald Trump? Now, it's not some revelation. I think the appeal of Donald Trump has been clear for some time now. But you think Chris Matthews nailed it? If you plan to vote for Donald Trump, did he articulate why you plan to, or how would you articulate it? Certainly, you see his flaws. Certainly, you see how he could get off track in the debate just by defending himself personally. Certainly, you see how he does not have governmental experience and says lots of things that could cause lots of problems if he was president. And yet, he continues to have massive support in these giant rallies. I'm not putting this out to attack. I'm putting this out as a question. If you're voting for him, why? 866-348-7884. We'll be right back.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. I'm delighted to be with you. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. Let's listen to one more clip from Chris Matthews, this time Joey, clip number 10. He's discussing the appeal of Donald Trump. Do you believe that he has accurately described the mass appeal of Donald Trump, despite the massive unfavorability numbers for both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton? And on a certain level, this is like watching a football game where each team keeps making turnovers, and the commentators say it doesn't look like anybody wants to actually win this game. That's how things have gotten. There's massive dislike towards Hillary Clinton and massive distrust of Hillary Clinton. And yet she and Donald Trump are neck and neck in the polls. And there's massive distrust of Donald Trump, massive dislike towards Donald Trump. Things are as polarized as they've ever been in America. I mean, you put a Donald Trump sign up on your front lawn, and in some parts of the country, you could be attacked. I mean, this has actually happened. And others would say, well, no, it's the Trump rhetoric that's so divisive and causing the anger. And either way, it's a volatile time. The question is, those who are Trump supporters, those who are not simply never Hillary, like, say, Ted Cruz saying, I'm supporting Donald Trump because we must have someone in other than Hillary, and I believe he'll do the right thing with Supreme Court justices. But there's an appeal where Donald Trump is drawing massive crowds and where many Christians are on board supporting him. The question is why. And in a moment, I want to give you the silver lining on all the negatives. I want to tell you what I believe is very positive and share some quotes with you from 4 years back that I think you'll find very interesting. 866-348-7884. Okay, let's listen to one more clip from Chris Matthews.
A lot of this support for Trump, with all his flaws, which he displays regularly, is about the country. Patriotic feelings people have. They feel the country's been let down. They just feel that our elite leaders on issues like immigration, they don't regulate any immigration, it seems. They don't regulate trade to our advantage, the working man's, working woman's advantage. They take us into stupid wars. Their kids don't fight, but our kids do. It's patriotic. They believe in their country.
Yeah, so it's a nationalism. It's a patriotism. It's a feeling that the governmental elites have let the nation down, that they're not doing what's best for the country, and therefore there is a nationalist populist appeal, Donald Trump. Yeah, I mean, on that level, I think it's self-evident, but yes, a good summary of it from Chris Matthews. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with those reasons. In other words, it's not that Trump is appealing to racism, or Trump is appealing to bigotry, or Trump is appealing to some wrong type of Americanism. In certain ways, you might argue he is, as much as saying, hey, our country's going to pot, and the government leaders are only making things worse. And we need someone from the outside who's going to stand up for the common person, the average person, stand up for us. And we don't like the way our country's going. Yeah, I think that's pretty basic. 866-348-7884. But first, let me read some things to you that I wrote 4 years ago, okay? And this may surprise you a little bit, but if you've been listening to me carefully over the years, I don't think you'll be surprised at all. So I wrote an article called Mitt Romney is Not the Answer. You have to remember I passionately opposed the re-election of Barack Obama, and I opposed his election in the first place for obvious reasons in terms of his stance and his viewpoints. But I was not putting my confidence in Mitt Romney. And I said this, certainly the rise of Romney as the Republican candidate has already led to indifference among many conservative voters, but that is not a positive in itself. Instead, it will be positive if, one, We don't get caught up in the typical election year fever. You're right. Talk about that now. I mean, we're already boiling. Two, if we do vote for Romney, we do so remembering that he is not the answer. Three, we realize that the answer to America's greatest problems is looking at us in the mirror if we align ourselves properly with God and with our neighbor. So I wrote that 4 years ago. I also said this, yes, Barack Hussein Obama has done great harm to our country, but he is not the primary cause of America's current malaise. We are, speaking as believers. And we, if we have messed things up, then by God's grace, we can turn them around. And then immediately before the elections, I think I may have even posted this on election day. It was called A Warning to Moral Conservatives. And there were pundits who were predicting that Romney would win. So right up to the last minute, it looked close. And some were saying he was going to get in. Obviously, he didn't. And it ended up not even being quite that close. But I said this, no more looking to the White House to transform America. So if Romney got in, that's what I was saying. In other words, even if he gets in, this is not our basis for confidence in America turning in the right direction. And I said, what if Barack Obama is reelected? Then we would do well to avoid the trap of putting most of our energies into rebuking the president's latest transgressions. Instead, we will have to focus our efforts like never before on fomenting a moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Come to think of it, that would be a sound course of action if Mitt Romney is our next president, too. The time for this kind of revolution, not a violent one, but an ideological culture one, is long overdue. And I, for one, am not waiting for the White House to make it happen. How about you? This is 4 years ago I was saying this. So here, to me, is the silver lining. The silver lining in the current situation we have, where we have two tremendously disliked candidates with small pockets of committed supporters for each of them, but overwhelmingly more negative than positive on a national level when you look at the candidates. So if you had a more popular Democratic candidate, that candidate would be way ahead of Donald Trump now. If you had a more popular Republican candidate, that candidate would be way ahead of Hillary Clinton right now. That's not what we have. What's the silver lining? Of any election that I can remember in my lifetime, this is a time for the church not to put its trust in whoever is elected. If ever there was a time for us to realize that change must come from the bottom up, not from the top down, it is now. Even if one of these candidates was elected and ended up doing a fine job, again, that would mean Hillary Clinton's complete repentance of fundamental positions and renouncing the Democrat Party platform. For Donald Trump, it would mean embracing the Republican platform once nominated and having grace in his heart to step higher and to act in a presidential way, not in the way he's often acted up until now. Otherwise, that could be self-destructive. But if either candidate did well, that's still not the hope of America. And now is the time when we need to put our trust in God more than in man. And I'll say one more thing, then I want to go to your calls. I was talking to my trainer this morning. We're talking about finances and trusting God. And I said, late 70s, early 80s, I was under real financial pressure. One particular week, I was full-time sales and going to grad school and married with two kids. And I mentioned to the pastor, hey, I just need a financial breakthrough this week. And he said, Mike, there's a real temptation that you have to put your trust in your job because you're a salesman and you could make more money through your job. And you could put your trust in your job rather than in God. And I thought to myself, but that's exactly what I'm thinking, that God would bless me at work this week and enable me to do better because I'm a commissioned salesman, and that would bring in more money to pay our family bills. And I realized what he was saying. If I just had a regular 9-to-5 job with a fixed income, then the only way that I could believe for other monies to come in was through something totally above and beyond, totally supernatural. That's what I'm suggesting. That's what I'm suggesting when it comes to the elections. That if there's ever an election where we should not put our trust in a person, it's now. All right, we'll be right back. Want to hear from you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Let me know if you're voting for Donald Trump, why, if Chris Matthews articulated things, and feel free to call in and tell me why you're voting for Hillary Clinton. I am not a Trump supporter or endorser. If the elections were today, I know I could not vote for Hillary Clinton. I do not know that I could vote for Donald Trump. I'm still weighing things prayerfully. Thankfully, I don't need to decide yet for another month in terms of a final decision. I adamantly oppose the presidency of Hillary Clinton and feel it would be disastrous in many ways. Nonetheless, that may be the divine discipline we need for the church to wake up. And hey, I'm going to be candid with you. To me, this is not a political issue. These are moral issues, but feel free to differ with me. You've been with me long enough on the radio. I've been with you long enough that we can have disagreements and remain respectful. 866-348-7884. Let's start with John in Des Moines, Iowa. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. You asked why I was voting, or I would vote for Donald Trump, and
yes,
at this point, I think people are focusing too much on him, and I'll vote for him simply because I spent a lot of time at the caucuses, at our county conventions, our state conventions, on the party platform. That's what we expect our Republican candidate to abide by. He may or may not, but I believe our chances are better with the Republican Party platform than the Democratic platform, and like you said, in the end, it's all in God's hands, so that's my reason.
Yeah, now, hey, that's a very sound reason because, in fact, it's a very strong pro-life, pro-family, pro-righteousness, pro-Israel platform. And Donald Trump has signaled support of the platform. And even though his own views on abortion were not as strongly pro-life as the platform, the people that he's brought on to head up the pro-life arm of his campaign are as strong as they get. So just in your gut, John, in your gut, your own opinion, if Donald Trump was elected, do you think that he would follow through and stand with that platform? What do you think in your gut?
I think he would have to surround himself with people that would push him in that direction. I don't think he's going to be able to go back on that at all.
Got it. All right. Hey, much appreciated. And that's the other thing. He keeps surrounding himself with a lot of the right people. I just spoke with one of my colleagues who was at a meeting with him for an hour last Thursday. I would have been at that meeting myself, about 30 people, Protestant, Catholic, academics, public intellectuals, whatever, who had not yet endorsed Donald Trump. And I was invited, was unable to go because of my travel schedule. But having said that, for sure, the people there got to lay things out clearly. And there are people that he has on his staff that do understand the issues of religious liberties. But thank you. Others say, hey, it doesn't matter. He's too volatile. We can't trust him. But I'm asking for your opinion. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Bob in Calverton, Maryland. Bob, how is it that Donald Trump has your vote?
Yes, sir. Amen to the pro-life, pro-Israel. But also, I don't believe he's a... I don't believe he's a one-world government guy. I don't believe he's a socialist. I don't believe he's a sociopath. I don't believe he's a gangster. And you know, that kind of covers a lot of ground. It's not necessarily casting aspersions in a certain way, because I, you know, I want to be able to sleep at night. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I heard you say something the other day about, you know, if somebody's, you know, you never know their heart for sure, because, I mean, how people can switch platforms if they're in different offerings for presidential positions like Al Gore and George Bush Sr. did. But I couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton if for one reason, for the stance on abortion.
Yeah, and that's absolutely massive. And listen, she said, was it just last year, and I've quoted it on the air as well, that religious beliefs are going to have to change. Religious beliefs are going to have to change to adopt a pro-abortion stance and things like that. So she's made that clear. If you make that clear as a potential candidate or as a candidate, what in the world are you going to do if you get elected? Hey, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. Hey, friends, go to my radio website, thelineoffire.org, and click on Digital Library for my latest videos, The God of the Old Testament, Different Than the God of the New Testament. Yeah, fascinating discussion, and I make it succinct and clear. That's at thelineoffire.org. Just click on latest video, and you will be able to watch that, or click on Digital Library, I'm sorry, and then you'll see all of our latest articles as well, pushing back against the latest PC madness. You'll find that eye-opening. I'm going to get to that later in today's broadcast. And just a reminder that if you can't listen on the radio, wherever you are, between 2 and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can listen on your cell phone, you can listen on your computer, your tablet, anywhere, driving in your car or anywhere in the world, just by going to thelineoffire.org, and you'll see it in red, listen live. Boom, you click on that, and you're on. You're with us anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. And while you're on thelineoffire.org, make sure you check out this week's resource offer. We're extending from last week, The Unseen Realm, with my interview with Michael Heiser and my entire teaching series on angels, demons, and deliverance. Let's grab one more call. We go to Arnetta on Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Michael, my argument is I'm not voting for either one, but I am pro-life. And as a nurse, I know it's questionable. There are risks for mothers who are having babies that cannot have them. And there are rapers who rape a child or rape someone who has to be aborted. So there are questionable morals in that. I am a Christian, but I would not base my opinion on all that for pro-life. My argument, which is going to sway a little bit, is on the economics of this country. The country is built on immigration. No one is going to work for very low pay in this country except for immigrants, and they seem to manage on that. So we have to look on all sphere. And Washington, their hands are tied once they get there. The two-party system doesn't work. There are always arguments on both sides. And this is my argument, Michael. But I am for pro-life. But yeah. There are questions with pro-life.
Yeah, and Arnetta, I understand when you're dealing with people. Look, I cannot ever imagine what it's like for a woman to be raped and then find out she's pregnant. I'm not a woman. I can't. That's not in my realm of possibility. I can think about it. I can meditate on it. I can talk to others that have experienced it. But I can't possibly relate to it. So I listen to women who speak of these things and still say, hey, the big issue still, if that is a baby in the womb, then you can't punish the baby for someone else's crime. Perhaps the baby's given up for adoption. Perhaps the baby is kept and raised, but that would be the big issue. Is that a baby in the womb? But Arnetta, thank you for weighing in. I do appreciate it. Hey, I'm going to be taking calls on a bunch of subjects in another 90 minutes. We're just getting started.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Speaking of immigrants, refugees, CNSNews.com reports that the administration admitted a total of 12,587 Syrian refugees during the just-ended fiscal year, exceeding the target President Obama declared last fall by 2,587, so by 20.5%. In other words, he said we're going to admit 10,000 for this fiscal year through 2016. Instead, we admitted 12,587. Now, here's what's perhaps the most interesting about these statistics, and to me, the most disturbing. Of the 12,587, the vast majority are Sunni Muslims, 12,363, that's 98.2%. Well, another 103 are identified in State Department Refugee Processing Center data simply as Muslims, and a further 20 as Shia Muslims. But notice, out of 12,587, 12,486 are Muslims. There are 24 Yazidis. They are another religious group, a very small minority group, especially in Iraq, Syria. They've been terribly persecuted by ISIS, but they're not Muslims. They're not Christians. 24 Yazidis have been admitted. You think it would be far, far more based on the humanitarian suffering, the horrific upheaval. But in fact, 24 Yazidis and just 68 Christians. How is that? How is that? I know in some cases the Christians fleeing for their lives don't even make it to a refugee camp, and their lives are even endangered there. But with the dispersion of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Christians from Iraq and Syria, decimation of almost millennia-old communities, and just horrific human suffering, Christians, and these people do not have a history of terrorism. How is it we only admitted 68? They comprise 16 Catholics, 8 Orthodox, 5 Protestants, 4 Jehovah's Witnesses, 1 Greek Orthodox, and 34 refugees self-identified simply as Christians. I mean, that's just not right. I cannot see a justification for that. I don't know all the background, but I cannot see how that can be right. 866-34-TRUTH. We go back to the phones. Rona in the Bronx, thanks for calling the line of fire.
Hello. I waiting so long. I'm wondering if I'm going to call, save for this call. Oh, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah. You know, you're asking about Hillary. It's the same thing where you mentioned that, because I know I was listening to Hillary one day, and he says Christian have to change their Christianity to adapt to. So who can vote for that? I'm not voting for Donald Trump to fix anything. I have a vote, and his name is Jesus. And he said he can set up a wicked man over anybody. I'm voting against Hillary because she's going to take my tax money and give it to the abortion to commit more abortion. And this is murder. But it's not about Donald Trump. It's about my Christian belief.
All right. Rona, when you go to vote, when you say you can vote for Jesus, are you saying you're going to cast?
No. I'm a Christian and I vote for Jesus. He said he is in charge.
He is in charge,
but he set up government.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what is due to Caesar, do it for Caesar. He don't vote. Christian is not voting for these people to fix anything. But somebody come out publicly, sir, and said they're going to support and give more money to the Syrian soldier, you know?
Got it. All right, so you're going to say, okay, my trust is in Jesus, but we have a government, therefore I vote. And if someone is going to take an anti-God policy, can't vote for them. For the other. All right, thank you. Thank you for weighing in.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Look, let's say someone is admitted to the hospital and they broke a bone and it's not a big deal at all. Just need to, you know, set the bone, get a cast, you'll be fine. Yeah, you hate the fact that that happened. The person could be in pain. It could be a little debilitating for a while. But hey, it's not life-threatening. You're not praying as if the world is coming to an end. You're not calling on your church to fast and pray. Hey, I got to go to the hospital. You know, my son broke his leg playing ball, and he's okay, though. We just got to get the bone set, put a cast on, and he'll be all right. All right. You have one attitude with that. You have another attitude if someone's going in for quadruple bypass surgery, and the normal surgeon who performs the surgery is unavailable. He has been in an accident, and they have to get his backup in, who's good but not as good. You better believe you're praying with more fervor. You better believe you're praying with more desperation. You better believe you're crying out more and saying, oh, God, have mercy. God, guide the surgeon's hand. That's what I'm saying our attitude should be coming into these elections. America's in a very dire situation in many ways and deeply divided, really needing positive turns in many, many ways. And in that sense, the patient is really sick and we don't have the best doctor around to operate. So that means we need to really be putting our trust in God and praying while we get involved in the political process as much as we can with a clear conscience. 866-348-7884. Back on Long Island, Rosa, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm from Brooklyn, actually.
Okay.
But it's okay. I'm a professional woman. I've been doing this. I've been in sales for the last 26 years. As a woman, they keep telling me, why will I not vote for Hillary? And it's quite clear. I am voting for Trump, and I'm voting for him strongly, and I'm advocating for him because he's a good man. He's a good man. He doesn't talk the language of polished professional politicians. Okay, he is for life. He is for saving the life of the child and the mother. He is not an abortionist like the Democrats want us to be. The Democrats will have one of the worst. If Hillary is elected, we will see abortion on demand after the time of birth of the child. They already passed it in New York, a law, from what I understand, that just before the child is born, that child can be killed. I am for, she cannot be trusted without faith. They want to destroy the Christian faith. You can see it in their actions. It's not their words that we need to look at. It's their actions, the laws they passed. All of a sudden now, Hillary and all the Democrats want us to believe that it is, oh, we will do this. We will get you jobs. We will not touch the Christian faith, nor any other faith. We are not going to impose anything on anybody. Yeah, vote for me now. As long as you vote for me, that is what their motto is, to say anything, do anything, as long as the people vote for them. And then afterwards, it's what their agenda is.
All right, so Rosa, let me
come again.
Yeah, right. Listen, I share your sentiments in terms of why I couldn't vote for Hillary, and I do like many of the policies in the Republican platform that have been advocated by Donald Trump. Do you feel that he would be different than other politicians and would actually keep his word once elected? Do you see any wavering back and forth in him that would cause you to wonder, is, hey, what makes me think he's going to do it any more than the others will do it?
No, not at all. I trust him. I trust him completely because I know. Look at his background, which the media is trying to hide all the time. He's always been there for the little person. It doesn't matter what race, age, whatever they are. He has supported his help. You know, anybody can go to his address on Park Avenue and talk with them. Anybody. It doesn't matter who you are. All right? You don't have to be the king of whatever to go and see him. But try to get an appointment with Hillary. All right? The only thing she does, she's a polished, scripted politician.
No,
to destroy you even more.
Yeah, Rosa, listen, I am raising my voice as loudly as I can against voting for Hillary Clinton. Although I don't know that I'm voting for Donald Trump, I am absolutely raising my voice saying don't vote for Hillary Clinton based on moral reasons. So, again, it's not a political thing to me. Trump's opponents would say he's built his businesses on the backs of little men and hurt them and taken advantage of people, and his bankruptcies have hurt others. That's what his critics would say. You feel otherwise, feel passionately, but I appreciate you weighing in. That's what I want to hear, is why you are voting the way you're voting. 866-348-7884. We go to Nutley, New Jersey. Paul, welcome to the Line of Fire.
How are you, Dr. Brown?
Doing
I really
well,
enjoy
thanks.
Listening to your show.
Well, thank you, sir.
First question, did you say that there was a silver lining in all of this at the end of the rainbow here?
Yeah, the silver lining is, with so much distrust of the candidates, the church can realize that it's up to us to bring about change and not put all the emphasis on who's elected. That we tend to get in this frenzy. Whoops. We tend to get in this frenzy with each election. And then we pray like crazy to, you know, get the right person in, or, you know, and then we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're not doing our job and focusing on what we're supposed to focus on. So, yes, to me, that's the silver lining, that as much as there is distrust of the candidates and dislike towards the candidates, that enables us to not put our trust in them all the more. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Ella in Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, I have two questions, and then I'll make a comment. I wanted to ask, just to be sure, is Donald Trump running on the Republican Party?
He is running as a Republican, and he is embracing the Republican Party platform.
Okay, another question. Are the Republicans in support of gay marriage? Are they pro-abortion? Are they pro all of the transgender stuff?
No, they are. The Republican platform is very strongly pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-family. It is the strongest pro-life and anti-abortion platform that we have seen, and very strong in terms of marriage being the union of a man and a woman. So in that respect, the Republican platform, from a biblical moral perspective, is massively better than the Democratic platform.
Okay. Now, this, considering all of this information, I think this should be very clear-cut for everybody that considers themselves a child of God. It's really, I'm not voting for Trump. I'm not voting for Hillary. I'm not voting for the Republican Party. I'm voting for what the Republican Party stands for. The only reason I will not vote the Democratic Party or vote Hillary is because of what her party stands for. Mm-hmm. And I think it should be very easy for Christians to vote as Christians and not as Americans. Your obligation first is to the Word of God and to Christ before the country. So you see a party that is in support of the tenets of Christianity, the principles of Christianity. Why should it be so difficult to vote for that party? And then for the lady who called before, Rosa, to say that she trusts Donald Trump, I just want to remind her that the Bible says not to put your trust in any man. He's a politician like Hillary Clinton. He's just the lesser of two evils as far as I'm concerned. I vote for his party, for the Republican Party and what they stand for, not Donald Trump.
Yeah, loud and clear, Ella. Your comments stand just as given, and I won't add or take away anything from them. Thanks so much. 866-348-7884. All right, we've only got a few seconds before the break, so I'll just hang on and then come back to your calls on the other side of the break. Be sure, though, to go to thelineoffire.org. You'll want to read my latest article, Pushing Back Against the PC Madness. Got some pretty wild quotes from surprising people, not just from Christian conservatives, but from some Hollywood elites. They've had it with the PC Madness, and I believe the pushback is only going to continue in the days ahead. So thelineoffire.org, go there and then click on Digital Library, and you can watch my latest video, which asks the question, is the God of the Old Testament different than the God of the New Testament? We'll be right back.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us on the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, and I am delighted to be with you. Let's reconnect with Paul in Nutley, New Jersey. Paul, somehow we lost you there. I was explaining that the silver lining is that we will not put our trust in a man or a woman, and that we'll recognize with candidates as flawed as our candidates are, that it's up to the church to do the role of the church. And we pray for our leaders, whoever they are, whether we like who they are or not, but we must do our part. That's the silver lining. So your comment, Paul.
Yes, Dr. Brown, I'd like to just emphasize that a little bit more. I'm of the Reformed faith. Our school of thought is kind of an unpopular one. But we believe that it's, you know, according to the scriptures, as we compare scripture with scripture and rightly divide the word of God, we believe that God is sovereign. And whether or not we vote, or whether or not we do anything, God's plan and purpose is going perfectly as planned. He's sitting sovereign on the throne. And bottom line, history is his story. He wrote the script.
Let me just ask you this, though. Paul, why is it that through the scriptures, God is often grieved with what happens and says this was not his will or desire? It was the last thing on his mind for Israel to do, where he says, if only you had done this, then I would have blessed you. Or he says, you know, Luke tells us that the Pharisees rejected the will of God for their lives. In other words, it doesn't seem that God is pleased with everything that happens. And while he's certainly at work in the earth, there are many things that happen that are contrary to his will and desire that grieve him, because of which he brings judgment. So explain to me how your view of sovereignty would line up with those scriptures.
Okay, on the one hand, we just don't say that he is totally sovereign and we're robots. We also believe that we're responsible creatures, of course. But in all of that, in the scheme of things, we also understand that with our so-called free will, which I don't believe in, we believe that he works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. So the choices that we make, say in this election, whether it be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, we make that decision, of course. But did you ever hear the statement, what God has ordained in eternity past, we all will choose in time? So, I don't know, after reading Calvin's Institutes of Christian Religion, he makes the unbelievable statement that we are all actors on his glorious theater. Again, we know that that's an unpopular thought, but it's all also very comforting for us.
Well, is it
everything is going according to his plan? Perfect.
So just to understand this, and I've had similar conversations with my friend and colleague, Dr. James White, for whom I have immense respect. So
yes.
You're saying if a little girl is kidnapped from her house tonight, beaten, raped, and buried alive, that was the will of God, and I should ultimately rejoice in it?
Okay, now this is where it becomes so much unpopular, that question.
Well, I just want to be scriptural. I could care less about popular. Scriptural.
Okay. All right. So God says this. God says that he loves, that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. On the other hand, in the same Gospel of John, in John 17:9, we hear the Lord praying an intercessory prayer and saying, Father, I pray not for the world, but for those you've given me out of the world. So we know that God loves, but we also believe that God hates all workers of iniquity. We believe that some names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
All right, but hang on, Paul, just with respect to time, I have an answer for each point you're making and could easily respond where I differ. I just need to be real simple here because, again, we were talking elections and you brought up this a totally fair discussion with regard to the elections. Totally fair, and I don't mean to be hostile in questioning. I just simply need to understand if, God forbid, that happened to someone close to you, that you would say that God ordained it before the foundation of the world, that that little girl would be kidnapped, raped, and buried alive, and that was the person who did it was just an actor on God's stage doing what God had previously ordained for them to do, and we should therefore rejoice in the will of God. Is that your position?
Absolutely, because in the book of Proverbs it says, he makes the wicked for the day of evil, but a good
yeah, that's a misapplication of absolute misapplication of the Hebrew. In other words, God's going to cause everything to work out according to a plan. So if there's someone evil, then God will use that for the corresponding purpose. That evil person would then be brought under judgment or something like that. But I think it's important that you hear God's heart and voice and not just think theology, that you hear his cry. When he says in the book of Ezekiel, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn and live. When he tells the children of Israel with regard to their sin, for example, offering up children to idols, that it was not his plan, that it never entered his mind that they would do that, meaning that he never commanded any such thing for them, that Jesus tells the leaders of Israel, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you weren't willing. So I wanted to do it, but you weren't willing. And we see God grieved. Genesis 6, God is grieved at the sinfulness of man. He's not saying, hey, they did what I ordained them to do by sinning. No, they have violated his will and gone against his will, and in that sense, broken his heart, because of which he needs to bring judgment. And that's why God's heart is expressed in, for example, a passage like Isaiah chapter 48, where he says this, oh, that you had paid attention to my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. No, that rapist was not doing what God ordained him to do. That rapist was not carrying out the father's will, and the father was saying, well done, you raped well, you committed that brutal act well. Now, I'm not saying every Calvinist would put it like that. I don't want to misrepresent ever. But God is grieved over that and saying, I didn't plan that, I didn't desire that, but we do have certain freedom. That's why the New Testament and the Old constantly say, choose, 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 choose. And if you choose rightly, you'll be blessed. You choose wrongly, you'll be judged. And it's God who gives us the grace and the empowerment to do the right thing, because in ourselves, we cannot possibly do it. As to the larger question is, do we get God's choice for president? You could also say that God has chosen in this democratic republic to give us what we choose, and we may get the government we deserve, which is part of God's judgment. Or he may move sovereignly to turn it. That's his business. But that's another discussion and a worthy one. Thank you for calling in. All right. We are out of time. Remember to visit the website. We've extended last week's special resource offer, so go to thelineoffire.org. My bottom line, I'll say it over and again, regardless of who is elected president, there's only one who can turn America in the right direction. He sits enthroned above. From the coming Day of Atonement to the latest in the presidential elections and PC madness going wild, we've got you covered today right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, something very interesting has happened with the elections. We knew it. We've known it for years, but it has gotten so blatant that I hate to see it, but I'm glad to see it. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. That is the number to call. We'll be talking presidential elections. We'll be talking about PC madness in the culture, and we'll be talking about this sacred time of the year on the biblical calendar. But if you are planning to vote for a candidate, why? Why does this candidate, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or another one, have your vote? And if you're planning to sit out the election, the presidential part at least, why is that? Since obviously your vote is something very precious and sacred. We each have an equal vote here in America. Think of that. And yet, some will not be able to vote in good conscience. So we'll talk about that on the broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. But first, here's what's been happening. The same left-wing media, liberal media, that seemed to really help Donald Trump in the Republican primaries and didn't really go after him a lot, and played his speeches for just, you know, half hours. I mean, just unprecedented. Of course, they knew it was good for ratings. They have gone after him with abandon to the point that an editor for the New York Times said he would go to jail if that's what it took for him to publish Donald Trump tax returns. In other words, if he got them illegally, he'd gladly go to jail for it. USA Today editorial board, they said that they have never done this, but they unanimously came out and said Donald Trump is unfit for the presidency. There is an unvarnished, unapologetic, all-out war on Donald Trump by much of the secular media. And what that means, just in a bottom-line way, it means that they are not even trying to hide their bias. Now, look, this has gone on for a long time. Sean Hannity is not trying to hide his bias in being pro-Trump. But theoretically, Fox News is conservative. MSNBC is liberal. CNN is largely liberal. They'll try and bring in more balance, but still going to be largely liberal. That's understood. But say the New York Times, they're just supposed to be printing the news, or USA Today just printing the news. And there's not even a semblance of that. And Jerry, grab clip 12. Michael Moore, do you get more liberal than filmmaker Michael Moore? On Meet the Press, this was yesterday. So on Sunday, listen to what he has to say about media.
I think a lot of people who have seen their livelihood vaporize, who are no longer part of the middle class, who are struggling to survive, pay no attention anymore to what the media or the people in power. They've lost all credibility, I think, with a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree with Michael Moore there, and I don't think there's much dispute of it. And that bothers me. That bothers me in that there is, well, if you're going to say, okay, we're not trying to hide our bias, fine. But the idea that they want to say, well, like Breitbart.com and Drudge Report and Rush Limbaugh, they're radical conservatives, but we are unbiased. That's nonsense. That's hogwash. We'll be right back.
Flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Listen, those who said that God was using Donald Trump to shake things up, like him or not, and in fact, the less you like him, the more you might even see him shaking things up. It is undeniable that a lot of stuff has been shaken up. As much as Donald Trump still has to earn my vote, the fact of the matter is he has shaken a lot of things up, including shaken up the media and exposed a lot of the bias in the media. Do you remember what was prophesied over Jesus as a child? And by the way, in case anyone is misunderstanding me, I am not comparing Donald Trump to Jesus. Everybody got that? Everybody clear on that? Okay. Do you remember that when Jesus was a child and he was brought to the temple, Yeshua was brought to the temple by Joseph and his mother Miriam, that Simeon prophesies over him in Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. And says, this child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign to be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed. So in that regard, Donald Trump has brought a lot of stuff up to the surface. Of course, there are many things he's done that I wish he hadn't done, and things he said I wish he hadn't said, and attitudes that have only increased the sense of division in our country and in our culture. That being said, a lot is being revealed, even in terms of the media, even in terms of bias, even in terms of the political system and the like. And for that, I think that in itself is positive. 866-348-7884. Played a clip in the first hour from Chris Matthews. In fact, let me replay clip number 10, where this well-known liberal TV host, known, of course, on MSNBC, where he explains why he feels many Americans are voting for Donald Trump, and accurately so. Listen to what he has to say.
A lot of this support for Trump, with all his flaws, which he displays regularly, is about the country. Patriotic feelings people have. They feel the country's been let down. They just feel that our elite leaders on issues like immigration, they don't regulate any immigration, it seems. They don't regulate trade to our advantage, the working man's, working woman's advantage. They take us into stupid wars. Their kids don't fight, but our kids do. It's patriotic. They believe in their country.
Yeah, is that why you're voting for Donald Trump? Sense of patriotism? Sense of the country's going to the dogs and these governmental elites are making these wrong decisions and we need someone who's going to stand up for the common man? And as Michael Morris says, hey, the common man doesn't care about what the media has to say. They're rejecting it because they're feeling the pain and they don't like the way things are going. And they think Trump is the guy that's going to stand up for them. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Adrian in Mattapan, Massachusetts. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
I am a black woman. I got born again when I was 36. So I went through the stages of living my life, and I had abortions. Now, after coming to Christ, a whole different thing. I said, oh, my goodness, what have I done? I repented. I mean, I know he's forgiven me, but for this voting, I'm not voting for Trump. I am voting for what I believe is closest to God's heart in every situation. Because when I became a Christian, it's now I no longer live. That Adrian, with my biasness towards black rights, I mean, I ran to the polls. We always voted the black. We voted Democrat because we really felt that they were the ones looking out for us and looking out for the black people. And if you had told me that later on when Obama was running,
that I could not vote. I did not vote for him. I would have thought you was absolutely crazy, because that's what I always had, and you know, always wanted the black man, and because I could relate to the black man and the black causes. But then now it's like, oh God, give me your heart. Help me to see what you want, and it's totally changed. I mean, I don't have trust in any of them. I just don't. Only trust I have is in God. And I believe that Hillary probably will get in. But I know for me that I have to do that, my consciousness, I have to vote for life. I know he's against the gay marriages and everything. That's clear. Okay, so that's another thing that, and I see that I have to go that way. But other than that, so it's moral issues.
Yes.
Issues that I believe that I see that is clear to me in the Bible that he speaks against. And I think that's why our country is falling now. It has been losing its power because we have taken him out. And we've done it our way, and then we want to go and try to patch it up, and it doesn't work. There's always judgment.
Yeah. So
we do it our way, but there's pay up.
Yeah. Let me ask this, and you are so articulate and clear headed in what you're saying, and I deeply appreciate it. This is something I don't understand, and many times there are things. In my own culture, I don't understand. There are things in other people's cultures I don't understand. And you may have an answer for this, you may not. But when I look at the policies put forth by the Democrats, when I look at the rabidly strong pro-abortion policy and the disproportionate number of black babies that are aborted, I look at that as an attack on the black community. I look at that as black genocide. And then when I see the policies that say the welfare related policies that even reward fatherlessness and things like that, and that have created now a few generations of men that don't have the incentive to work, and mothers even have an incentive to have a child out of wedlock or something like that, as a result of policies, I look at this as another attack on black America. Now, there are some who believe it was intentional. In other words, the Democrats and LBJ and those with the rise and success of the civil rights movement, that this was their way of keeping African-Americans down. And others say, come on, that's ridiculous. They were trying to help. They were trying to empower. But instead, it hurt and it created a category of victims. Bottom line, regardless of motivation, let's say everybody means the best, okay? Let's say that for a split second. It seems that the policies are so hurtful and harmful, and yet black Americans continue to overwhelmingly vote Democrat. And it, again, my perception is the Democratic policies are the things that are keeping black Americans down in many ways. What's your take?
I agree. Absolutely. 100%. I look at all the child that do not have a father in the home and everything. And, you know, years ago, before that welfare system came in, you know, people would work, struggle hard. And then all of a sudden, this is when I was young, people were coming from all over up to Massachusetts, because I didn't realize, but the welfare system was so good up in Massachusetts. And it just now so that guys would end up going to a girl's house, or they could get the apartments, and they shack up and live and have more babies and more babies. And the consequences is that it's really a struggle. They don't even realize until later on how hard it is without the father in the home. And the guys have gone out and gone to somebody else. You know, I mean, it's just, it's such an unhealthy thing. We do it. We voted like that because I think we were just foolish and never really looked for the
looked ahead to really see what's underneath it.
So the key thing is then rebuilding America one life at a time, one family at a time, just as you, Adrian, came to the Lord at the age of 36, and that has been the rebuilding of your life in so many ways. That has to be the answer in a holistic way, with education, with rebuilding families, and with empowering rather than enslaving. We have to do it together as a nation and say, okay, what can we do to help fix a real problem? Let's not point fingers. Let's be constructive and move forward. God bless you, Adrian, and thank you for your testimony.
Of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let me wade in to another controversy or two here. Then I'm going to change gears and talk about what today is, what today means on the biblical calendar, and what's coming in the next few days on the biblical calendar. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Okay. Headline in the British publication, The Sun, thesun.co.uk. Today, October 3rd, Jasper Hamill, Google promotes the controversial claim it's not possible for ethnic minorities to be racist against white people. Tech giant foregrounds idea that white people cannot be victims of racism in search results. So again, Google can manipulate when you click for searches, what comes up first, what doesn't come up at all. And this is what the headline states. Google showed an explanation, showed The Sun an explanation, which appears to be taken from the Huffington Post. Any person can be racist regardless of their own race. The answer to that, wrong. No, they can't. Racism requires power and prejudice. White people have power to oppress black people because they control the system and economics structure in society. Are you serious? Now, I did hear this. I did hear this from a guy who made that same claim. We were driving together, and it was in a particular location, and he was our driver, and he got into that very discussion with my assistant Dylan and explained to him that a black person could not be racist. Now, every so often, a caller has alleged that as well. Could not be racist because you had to have power and control in order to be racist. Well, that's just like defining tall as over 4 feet. No, that's not tall in our normal definition. If I see a basketball player walk by me, I'm barely 6'3". If I see a basketball player walk by me, I think, wow, he's tall. And I'm taller than some might expect. You know, people think, well, I'm Jewish, I'm not tall. You know, it's just about 6'3", that's tall. But under no circumstances in American society is a 5-foot person considered tall or a 4-foot person considered tall. Maybe if you were among people that were dwarfs or midgets or something, that in that context, a 5-foot person or a 4-foot person could be considered tall. Maybe for children, you know, the child's growing up, wow, you're tall, you're 4 feet. But in our normal parlance and our normal use of words, no, that's not tall. 4 feet is not tall. 4 feet is very, very short. For an adult, it's extraordinarily unusually short. So if you're going to make a word say whatever you want it to say, then it has no meaning anymore. So to say that racism can only exist among the dominant cultures, No, I don't accept it for a moment. That's not a historic definition of racism. It certainly is not historic. And it's not the widespread definition, nor is it logical. If racism is, in fact, a hatred against, a bias towards someone of a particular race, okay? Here, I'm just looking at a definition here. Where is this? This is dictionary.com. The belief that all members of each race possess characteristics or abilities specific to that race, especially so as to distinguish it as inferior or superior to another race or races. Prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that one's race is superior. Anyone can have that. And the reason this concerns me is because it allows for all types of racial hatred. It allows for all types of extreme hostility. It allows for bigotry and bias. But you say, well, I can't be racist, see, because I'm not dominant culture. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. It doesn't mean we work against, it doesn't mean that we don't work against injustice. It doesn't mean that we don't recognize racism where it does exist. It doesn't mean that we tolerate it if it's in the majority. No, it means we recognize it's ugly. It's a plague. It's destructive. It's distorting of the image of God and the value of every human being. And wherever it exists, it needs to be rebuked and eradicated. And that's why I take exception to the way that candidate Clinton has leaned into the racial tensions in America here. If you remember President Obama, when in Massachusetts, when a black professor was arrested by a white police officer, and immediately the verdict from the president was that police acted stupidly. Well, it's not what happened. It's not what happened. There seemed to be a man breaking into a house. It was the professor in his own house, but that wasn't known to the police officer, who thought a man was trying to break in, got a report to that effect, if I recall. And the officer apparently had an exemplary record and was the opposite of a racist. Well, that was a race-baiting, race-provoking comment by the president. And I would say, sadly, he's made many such comments or leaned in that direction. If not him, then Attorney General Holder or others that have only hurt things. And now I see the same with Hillary Clinton. Now, my goal is not to defend Donald Trump or every one of his comments. In fact, after the Tulsa shooting, he first, I thought he actually made a very good statement there. He was in a black church when I saw the statement, but I thought he made a very good statement. And plenty of things he said, I wish he hadn't said. Okay, plenty of things he said, I just shake my hands and my head and think, oh, no, you've got to be kidding me. So I'm not here as a defender of Donald Trump. But after that shooting, what did he say? He said that there are great cops around America. First, stood up for the police, which you need to do, stand up for law enforcement. Then second, said this did not look good. This shooting did not look good. And that maybe this woman should not have been where she was. Maybe she choked. So he honestly said, it looks like there's a problem. But he didn't say it in a way that is now going to stir up and inflame racial tensions. And I believe some of the comments made by Hillary Clinton, while on the one hand being good and fair and sympathetic to blacks in Charlotte, to whom she was speaking, so as a white woman saying, I'm a grandmother, like every grandmother, I worry about the safety and security of my grandchildren, but my worries are not the same as black grandmothers, and that every child, regardless of race, deserves the same sense of security, deserves the same hope. Yes, but who is it primarily that child is threatened by, a police officer or a gang member? In other words, she now makes the discussion about race and even anti-law enforcement instead of being holistic. That, to me, does more harm than good. There, I said it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Today is Rosh Hashanah in the traditional Jewish calendar, Yom Teruah in the biblical calendar, the day of the shofar blast, and that's what you just heard. Jews around the world taking this day to pray, to go to the synagogue, to reflect, to ask for forgiveness. Prayers are prayed called slichot, the root salach, meaning to forgive, slichot, prayers of forgiveness. There is a ceremony called tashlich, where Jewish people, normally immediately before Rosh Hashanah or during Rosh Hashanah, will go to a body of water. So let's say there's a little creek by a bridge somewhere, or let's say you're near a larger body of water. You go there, you empty your pockets out of any junk that's in there, and then you pick up some rocks, and something else, you throw that into the water with the hope that God will cast your sins into the depths of the sea, as in Micah, the 7th chapter. And these days, from today until the 10th day of the 7th month on the biblical calendar, Tishrei, these are called Yamim Noraim, the days of awe, meaning a time of special circumspection. This is a time when even non-religious Jews become more religious and will pray and will go to the synagogue. Yom Kippur will be a time then even non-religious Jews will fast for a little over 24 hours, and religious Jews will spend hours and hours in the synagogue praying prayers of repentance, confessing every imaginable sin, even if it's not their own, on behalf of the community of Israel, and asking God for mercy. And then 5 days after that, the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles, and that is a time of rejoicing that lasts for 1 week. There's actually an eighth additional day of the festival that was added in. But in biblical times, Old Testament in particular, this was not the beginning of the year. The beginning of the year was roughly March, April, and the month of Nisan, and that's the Passover season. Exodus 12, this month will be to you the beginning of months. But Jewish tradition has subsequently changed things so that this is considered to be the new year. This is considered to be the anniversary of God creating the universe. And contrary to Western tradition, where the new year is party time, you may make a vow, right? You may make a vow for the new year, and you know, I'm going to live, I'm going to eat differently, I'm going to exercise more, I'm going to read the Bible, whatever. But New Year celebrations are marked by partying and things like that, not in traditional Judaism. No, the traditional Jewish New Year is a time of circumspection. And that shofar blast, we come back, I'll play a quote for you, telling you that this is the wake-up time, the wake-up call. And it's interesting that the Bible says very, very little about it, Leviticus 23, Numbers 29, beyond the fact that the shofar is sounded. And then there are 10 days from this until the Day of Atonement, 10 often being the number of testing in the Bible. So you can see the great significance of this season. We come back, we are going to talk about what's happening in America, in our culture. If you are planning to vote or not, want to find out why you stand where you do. So we'll get to your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The shofar is the most prophetic instrument that there is. It's the instrument that releases symbolically God's voice. It's just a wake-up call.
Exactly. And this is what is sounding around the world, sounded last night. And for a number of reasons, even though the Bible has this as a one-day celebration or one-day commemoration, traditional Jews celebrated for 2 days. But I encourage every one of you to pray for the salvation of Jewish people during this time. I encourage every one of you to pray for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I encourage every one of you to say, God, give me your heart. Give me your heart for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as they pray, as they repent, as they cry out, as they seek the face of God, may there be a spirit of repentance that will turn them to Yeshua, the Messiah. 866-34-TRUTH. I've been asking questions the last hour and a half about the elections, and I've said that there's a silver lining to the fact that the candidates have such high unfavorability ratings. The most disliked two candidates together, probably in presidential history, certainly in the last 10 presidential cycles, as these things have been surveyed and counted on some level. So the silver lining is it's a reminder not to put our trust in a person. It's a reminder not to put our trust in the White House. It's a reminder that whoever is elected, we need to pray, we need to act, we need to stand, we need to do what we are supposed to do rather than looking to the government to do it. And that in itself is healthy. But I want to know why you're voting as you're voting or why you're not voting at all. I may interact with you. I may have some questions for you, or I may just hear what you have to say and leave it there. But we'll start in Raleigh, North Carolina. No, we won't. We will start in Durham, North Carolina with Lisa. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, this is Lisa.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air, Lisa.
Okay, I'm from North Carolina, and I have 6 kids. I have 3 in college. I have 3 boys and 3 girls.
Mm.
And one is at North Carolina Central and 2 at UNC Chapel Hill. And as a black mother in America, I probably wouldn't vote for any candidate because I'm a Christian, but I'm really struggling between the two or the lesser evils. And and living in America, we look at everything as black and white and this, and I believe that it's a spiritual attack.
Yeah.
That anytime there's a lot of division, we seem to ignore that we're Christians and we look beyond people, and it's a lack of education in the black community. And I think it's because, and I fear for my young men, and I raised them as Christians, and I taught them the value of not hating people because of color, and nobody's better than anybody. But if I sent them out in a car, I would fear that they would be more likely to be stopped and shot than the average white guy. And I've known, even in living in North Carolina, in the South, you can go in there, and I can go in there, and I'm just dressed in sweatpants. And people would follow me around the store, opposed to white women with the same big handbag and everything. And it's just disheartening because I know none of us are supposed to be like that. But I think it's a spiritual thing, and I think it's a lack of education and people, and we need to spread the gospel more to get people saved and to give them an understanding of self-worth, because I think a lot of young men are raised in poverty, and they look at their situation as just a curse, a family curse over them. And then if they don't understand God and who God is and how much he loves them, then they have no respect for their self, because society tends not to respect them. And some of them that have grown up and I think have been taught and understanding that they have the rights of everybody, not through man, but through God, that they would succeed, is which I try to instill in my children, and not to hate anybody or to try to say, well, it's because of this that I can't succeed. Because I tell them, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, but we can't ignore the situation that is whether it's through man or the heart's man or the training, how you were brought up, that you feel that you were lesser than, or you were made to feel that you were lesser than, that we ignore the spiritual things behind it. And Donald Trump comes off to me as a, I know he's a successful businessman, but he has, to me, his actions and everything are irrational. And it's like he's under attack himself. And Hillary, I don't agree with her, but she seems to have a more knowledge of the black understanding that's growing up. He grew up rich. Everybody didn't grow up rich and have the same things that he has. And, you know, Hillary seems to come more to understand the situation. Even my husband works two jobs, and he works real hard. We don't steal or do anything, and we are Christians, and we take our children to church.
Yeah.
But I look at the church. The church is just, we have the black church, the white church, the Hispanic, and not all churches are like that. But in my area, most of the people, basically maybe one white person that married a black woman comes to our church, but most churches are divided. So
yeah,
we
expect
the world to be different from the church? I don't think so.
Yeah, let me just jump in. I wanted to just listen to you because there's so much of what you say that all of America needs to hear, and it's the spirit of what you're saying that is so important, Lisa. It's callers like you that have helped me really better understand what certain minorities go through in America. In other words, when you are a God-fearing woman, when you've got 3 year kids in college already, when you're raising your kids in the fear of the Lord, where you're not trying to point fingers and attack others, you want to encourage responsibility, you oppose racial hatred and division, you recognize spiritual forces, and yet you talk honestly about concerns you have, you know, with your boys being out in the car, or how you get viewed a certain way. Look, if anybody writes you off or says, well, that woman, she's race baiting or white, no, absolutely not. And I've heard from so many like you, Lisa, that I have to recognize that there still is disparity in our culture in many ways between white and black, and that certain things are unconscious. Now, here, someone will turn around and they'll say, yeah, but Lisa, the reason that you're followed around in the store is not because someone has an attitude towards you, but because there's higher crime in the black community. And the reason that your boys are going to be more likely to be pulled over is because there are more black young men committing crimes and the police are just trying to be responsible. And they may come up with that response, but number one, it still does not make your situation any easier. And number two, okay, why are we having these larger societal problems? Why is the poverty? Why the lack of education? Why the broken family? What can we do together as God's people to fix these? And that's the question I come back to constantly. What can we do together to address the inequalities and the fact that some kids are being raised in an environment, they got two strikes against them out of the womb. You know, they've got multiple siblings with different parents. They don't even know their father, and they're not around working men. That's tough to overcome. What can we do as a society to address it? So what would you say as a Christian woman, speaking to Christians around America, what can we do together to try to fix this?
Well, I think mainly with the black community, they need to go out in these communities and mentor and set up programs and have housing to get people out of gangs. We have to have compassion, and I think, and even in, if the white people or Hispanic or any, because they're under attack, they will come in, and we all work together instead of just taking these children who have no hope and just gunning them down in the street. It's just, to me, it's a lack of love in America, and God, everything God does is based on love. And when you can find it in your heart to just look past the color of somebody's skin, because I believe God is colorblind, and we just set up programs. I'm not talking about like welfare. I'm talking about programs, because I've worked and I've seen where they won't hire a young black man as opposed to a young white man that come in with the same credentials and the same thing. It's still a bias. And if we just look past color sometimes, and even to give them a chance, and if some fail like they will, instead, just like some white ones, and we don't go around shooting white kids that go around schools who are the majority that shoot up schools. We don't follow them around and do all that, but it just has to be a balance somewhere where somebody can let go of the hatred just by looking at someone's skin.
Yeah. I'm just out of time, but just to build on what you said, so number one, we ask God, is there anything in my heart that causes me to look differently at someone whose skin color or ethnicity is different than mine, right? We pray about that. We're honest. God, give me your heart of love, justice for all. And then what can I do? What can my church do? How can we get involved? How can we mentor? How can we supply if there is a need rather than criticize and attack? How can we work together to rebuild families? So, Lisa, thank you. Thank you for your call. I really appreciate it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So just another reminder, pray for the lost sheep of the house of Israel during this season. Pray for God's mercy to be poured out. Pray for many Jewish people to turn to the Messiah. Pray for the church to recognize its connection with the Jewish people and Israel. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jenny in Fort Worth, Texas. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi. Thank you for taking my phone call.
You're very welcome.
I'm calling in regards to the election for Christians.
Yes.
As a Christian, I would vote a Republican because of most of the standards that they have. But at this time, because of Trump's inability to be humane and his part in arousing all of the negative feelings and the racism and telling people to punch them that he'll pay for the bill and, you know, this kind of bullying that he is or that he does or that he shows, and also a lot of the lying that I've seen, like programs that have shown him. 1 year he says one thing, then the next couple of years later he says another thing. So mm-hmm. This flip-flopping. So for us as Christians, we're not supposed to be following somebody like that. So I don't agree with following him just because he's Republican. And then for Mrs. Clinton, I don't agree with her views on her abortion and on the homosexual agenda, but as Christians, we know that we're going to be persecuted. And so I feel as Christians, we should vote for her because our minorities won't get persecuted. So we're like being our brother's keeper. So
hang on. I've got no argument with you not voting for Donald Trump. I understand why. But the what's important here is, who's the most innocent group in America? Babies in the womb. And if, in my mind, a vote for Hillary Clinton puts blood on my hands, the blood of the unborn uh-huh. on my hands. And therefore, I would much rather, in a heartbeat, not vote for either or vote for another candidate or just not vote at all for president. In a heartbeat, I would do that. But when she is going to push abortion policy that could lead to the ongoing slaughter of millions of babies in the womb, and with that the larger judgment that comes on a culture that then hurts everybody. And who is it that gets aborted at the highest rates? Black babies and Hispanic babies. That, to me, voting for her, I could consider voting for Donald Trump, but many have questions about his character. As far as lying, I mean, I don't know anyone that's been a more convicted serial liar than Hillary Clinton, even you know, before the FBI. So right. That's just my take. In other words, if you gave your reasons and said because of that you can't vote for either, I'd say I fully respect that. But to end up saying vote for Hillary, to me, if I do, there's blood on my hands. That's black and white to me.
Well, yeah. Well, I agree with that she doesn't have. I mean, if something happens like that, that the abortion rate will go up higher. But I was thinking more of, every person has they're responsible for their actions, and every woman, even remember when before Roe versus Wade, the women were still having abortions. if it was underground or by themselves. So it, to me, the abortion
but it's only a fraction. It's only a fraction of how many have been aborted since. Just to be honest, Jenny, that there were abortions before, but it's only a fraction of the abortion.
Because it makes it easier and more accessible. Okay,
not just that. It also makes it legal, as if it's a good and fine thing that the law now supports it. So we're that's quite massive.
Yeah. No, I was thinking more of as your personal problem and your sin in your life that you have to deal with God. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was thinking of being persecuted and doing your sins is a religious thing that we have to go through each and every day. We have to, we're all sinners. But for us to think that it would be easier for the blacks or the minorities to get hurt or more singled out because he's president, I would feel...
Yeah, I understand that you'd have that many have that concern, Jenny. And I wish that Donald Trump had been more circumspect in his comments. I wish that he was more self-controlled. I wish that he did not lash out at others the way that he does. I do believe that getting rid of bad apples in the police, continuing good training, but then having solid police in the cities across America will save lives, not take lives. But the other thing, I would not elect someone that I know is going to try to push me. Hillary Clinton said that people are going to have to change their religious beliefs when it comes to abortion. So I could not vote for someone that is now going to declare war on religious beliefs and has offended many leaders in Africa with her aggressive pro-homosexual stance. So no argument for me, Jenny, as to why you couldn't vote for Donald Trump. My own wife, Nancy, couldn't vote for him for similar reasons, at least right now. But to then say vote for Hillary, that's where I have to differ with you. But thank you for the conversation. I want to get to a couple more. But thank you, Jenny, for calling in. I really appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH in Fort Worth, Texas. Again, Mark, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. I feel that Mr. Trump is our best first choice because,
yes.
I mean, as a Christian population, to ask that more restraint on Christianity, I can't possibly vote for Mrs. Clinton. I mean, and for good people to do.
Yeah, no argument. No more argument for me on that, sir.
I mean, for evil to prevail, all people have to do is nothing and just to not vote is a catastrophic mistake for America, religious stance and whatever. And I mean, and maybe it'll shake up the Washington bureaucrats and make them take notice. And maybe the Democrats will come up with a better candidate next year. I mean, it's way easier to continue the Mr. Obama's stance with another candidate that's his protege. I fear that if she gets in for four, she'll be in for eight.
And either way, Mark, I've just got to jump in because I'm out of time. Either way, we put our trust in the Lord and we do what we have to do. We've got to do that. This is not the time to look for a political savior. This is not the time to say, well, Donald Trump, God's raising him up and you just watch. He's going to do this and that. Hey, I hope if he gets elected that he does amazingly well. And that God uses them to protect religious liberties and to stand for what's right for the whole nation. And if Hillary Clinton gets in, I hope God grants her massive repentance and she becomes an amazing president. But the last thing I'm going to do right now is put my trust in the candidate, especially in a situation like that. Hey, thanks for weighing in. Wish I could get to every call, but we do our best to get to as many as possible. But thank you for your input. Thank you for weighing in. Much appreciated. Friends, remember to go to thelineoffire.org. Check out my latest video, The God of the Old Testament versus the God of the New Testament. Just go to thelineoffire.org, click on Digital Library. My bottom line is this. If Hillary Clinton was your worst-case scenario as a president, or Donald Trump was, how should you be praying now?